Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2 on Friday, the 15th of June. I am joined in the studio today by my fabulous co-host, the lovely Mark Goldfinch.
Hello.
Hi,
hello.
Mark.
Nice to be back.
Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for inviting me back. I didn't expect to be back after the fiasco six... No, I'm joking.
Nobody knows about that.
No, it was great. It's great. Thanks.
It's great to have you back.
Good to be back.
And our guest in the studio today is Julia Bernard-Thompson, the Millionaire's Mentor.
Good morning. Woo-hoo.
Good morning. Welcome to us.
Welcome, welcome.
I was thinking, what did I miss? What bust up did they have?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, no. Mark's
manufactured just, controversy.
Yeah. Mark's just trying to be funny.
Trying.
It is... 15th of June. Seriously, the middle of June already.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
The year is flying by.
And we've got some warm weather.
Yeah, the sun's out, everybody.
Yes.
Get the barbecue out. Open the pools. Get out there.
Get your legs out.
Get your legs out.
Muffin tops.
Muffin tops. Oh, now you just put a whole different light on it. Now you just ruined it. We are here today and we have got some events to talk to you about. We are going to have a fantastic conversation with Julia. It's a very interesting story. Yeah, and we want to hear from you, as always, the listeners. So please do give us a tweet on the Twitter.
On the Twitter. At hashtag, was it Be Extra?
No, hang on. Wait a minute. Wait for it.
He's been too eager.
At Bunker Extra with an X, with the hashtag Be Extra, Be Bunker. Give us a shout. Let us know how your week's been. Have you had a good week? Have you had a bad week? Let us know how you're doing. You can, if you want to, as always, call us in the studio on 01233 220035. 01233 220035. One day somebody will call me. I know they will. Unlike the other week when we had a sales call in the middle of the show. Exactly. Like, no, we can't talk right now. We're on the radio. And you can, of course, email us if you'd like to come on the show. If you've got an event that's going on and you want us to shout out about it, please do email me at bunkextra@gmail.com. Now, on last week's show, I was joined in the studio by the marvellous Molly Moodle of Molly Moodle Media. And our guest was Barry Thompson and John Sanderson from Me Now, or as I've now nicknamed them, Barry and John. I think that should be their new jingle as well. Barry and John.
It sounds very 60s.
No, but doesn't it work? It's good.
It works.
Sounds
like Pearl and Dean.
Pearl and Dean. It sounds better. Barry and John. They're going to kill me if you keep saying that. But they're from a company called Me Now. And Me Now is an app to help small businesses, service-based small businesses, to fill their calendar, basically their diaries. So it works really fantastic. So basically, as a customer, if I have the app on my phone and I decide, right, next week I want to get my nails done, but I know in my diary I can have my nails done on this day, you can check on the app and see if your favourite nail bar has got a space. Then you go through and book it. Or if they haven't, what local nail bars that are using the app have got a space at the exact time and date that you want to go.
This is great for small service providers, you know, so people who are working by themselves, so hairdressers, peripatetic hairdressers, plumbers,
pretty much anybody
who's in a service or a trade who basically wants to have their calendar as close to 100% as
possible. So, you know, it's like you want to go and book something, but your time is limited and it's like, what can you fit in? So rather than having to plan weeks in advance and everything, you can just boom, book in.
Yeah, and this, see what's available. This is the beauty of technology. I mean, this is where productivity tools, you know, we should be adopting these basically because it's actually really good value. You know, it's actually really good value to adopt these things and it certainly saves your time
as a
service provider.
Exactly.
Chasing people or going around with bits of paper.
Or having gaps in your diaries and you can have it filled by paying customers.
Yeah. Especially when you need to get your nails done.
Exactly. Exactly.
That reminds me.
I was supposed to have my nails done yesterday, but I made a mistake and put the wrong time in my diary. So when I turned up, I was late and she couldn't do it. So now I'm like, I've got to wait another whole week to get my nails done. Whereas if I go on the app, I can go, right, who can fit me in tomorrow?
And all the men listening have just rolled their eyes so hard. These things are important, guys.
I did not roll my eyes. I was thinking about most of the men would go to B&Q to get their nails done.
Ha, ha, ha.
Boom, boom.
Anyway, it is a fantastic app. If you want to find out more about that or listen to last week's show, or any of the previous shows, you can find them now all on the Biz Radio website, bizradio.co.uk. Click on the extra tap and all the shows are there and you can listen to them at your leisure and you can even download them as a podcast.
Are they not on your own site as well?
No, I put them on the Biz Radio site now.
On the Biz Radio site,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because then it's all together. And we're soon going to have a new website, which is fantabulous. New Kent Business Biz Radio website.
If we have time, you can tell us more about that.
Absolutely.
That's going to be interesting.
But Mark, I just want to quickly talk about where you've been this week, because Mark has taken networking to a whole different level.
Well, it's interesting. So Tuesday, I was invited over to the other side, basically, to the continent of
the
Europe.
Other side.
The light
side. We needed a sound effect.
The light side. Definitely. Yeah, so taken to the other side.
25 miles of choppy channel. So basically it was CCI, which is the Chamber of Commerce and Industry in Lille, as well as the Provincial Council in northern France, which is 25 miles away from the coast of Kent. It's actually a really, really close, very, very intertwined in business terms, with the ports and Eurotunnel and so forth. And we had a tremendous day. It was actually, you know, top speakers, really, really friendly, really hospitable, really professional, Anglo-French. So I actually spoke some French.
Of course, because you speak French, don't you? So.
De France, oui.
Was the food good?
There were champagne cocktails.
Why did we not know about this?
This wasn't a typical British networking. Actually a special.
Well, exactly. I was expecting like French food.
It was nibbles, really, really nice. They've got a special lounge at the CCI headquarters opposite Lille International Railway Station, especially for British businesses doing business with French businesses in northern France.
That's fantastic, and that's really good to know.
You walk across the road,
isn't it?
It's an hour and a quarter from St Pancras, you walk across the road from Lille Station to the meeting rooms, the business meeting rooms, have your meetings, an hour and a quarter back to St Pancras. So there were a lot of people from London there, two of us from Kent, which I was quite surprised about, only two people.
But to be fair, probably other people didn't know about it. I didn't even know about it.
I didn't know about it. And trust me, if I knew about the champagne cocktail...
Exactly, you would have been there. Hello.
That is the secret to get British people there, is more booze. It's just
classy booze.
Classy, of course. Yeah. Le champagne.
But that's brilliant. I think, I think a lot more people in Kent would have...
It was
gone if they'd known more about
it's about building relationships,
exactly.
Especially with Brexit coming up, we've got to strengthen these relationships, make sure they exist and prosper, because they want it. Actually, they're reaching out to us. So this was the second event. The first one was in London last October. So there'll be more of these. So obviously we'll spread the word.
Absolutely. We'll let you know when the next one's coming
up. Yeah, and we'll give reports on these shows. Stay tuned to this channel.
Exactly. Fantastic. Oh, I love it. It's Shambo. I'm sorry, I'm not just fascinated by the champagne cocktails. Well, I am, but... No, I think just networking differently. And as you say, people, they're wanting to make these connections over here. So, you know, it's brilliant.
There are about 40 people there. And they're basically 20-minute slots. So you had to... It was all very, very technologically orientated. So you could book the slots in advance over through the afternoon, so talks in the morning and lunch. And then after lunch, there were actually these 20-minute slots too. So you could choose... who you wanted to speak with, and who they wanted to speak with. So it was really real organized with a bell, you know, every
the
20
bell.
Minutes.
We like a bell.
You have to have a bell.
Have a bell.
It's not proper networking if you don't have a bell.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
like
right. Have you got a bell?
I haven't actually. No, I'd like to be a bit more relaxed, or I just shout.
They play havoc with the sound levels, I think, on the microphones in the studio.
Come on, Amanda, you need a bell.
I need a bell. Yeah. I do need a bell. My networking's a lot more relaxed. I don't put time limits on things. Let them go with the flow. She's like,
whoa, that's a response.
You know me, everything's a planned relaxed mount.
Yes, yeah, you allow plenty of time and then it stops. Yeah.
Anyway, that's brilliant. And moving on, we have to say, before we start talking to Julia properly, we have to say today we are global people. I keep saying we're global, but today we are actually global, because we have listeners here in the UK. We have listeners in New York and we have listeners in Trinidad. Hello. Hello to Julia's family. Name them, say hello to them, put them officially on there.
Oh my gosh. First of all, I have to say hello to my darling husband, Stephen.
Oh yes, sorry, Stephen, we won't forget you.
Round the corner in Ken. Hello, darling. And then to my sisters, in order, Jennifer, Patricia, Petula and Petra. And do say hello to Mum, because Mum isn't listening. She's still in bed. Hi, guys. Hi, Mum. on the radio.
Yay!
So what time is it there? They're listening. So it's 11 o'clock here. What
it's
time is it there?
6 a.m. in Trinidad and Tobago and in New York.
They got up early.
So they
listen.
Got up early, especially.
Oh, thank you, ladies. So your family's in Trinidad. You have come originally from Trinidad. And how long have you been in the UK now?
It will be 18 years on Sunday, actually.
Wow.
So I arrived on the 17th of June, 1999, just before the turn of the millennium.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And so what brought you to the UK?
I originally came to travel around Europe for the summer. So I was in university in Trinidad at the time.
So you're backpacking.
Or
was it slightly more glam packing?
Glam packing.
I can't even imagine Julia backpacking.
Yeah, even back then, I had standards.
Yes.
And rightly so.
So arrived to travel around Europe for the summer and then kind of got in with the right crowd, as it were, who said, well, why don't you stay and finish your degree here? So it was a lot easier, you know, almost 20 years ago to do that than it is now. And I said, well, why not? And the year, of course, that I met my husband, so I did my undergrad in applied science. I did my master's in forensic science. And then I decided, right, I'll work for a little while. I'll go back to Trinidad and get a cushy job working in forensic sciences. And then I met
you
my husband.
You know what? I forgot.
CSI Trinidad.
Yes. I forgot. How could I forget that you started off in forensic science?
Yes.
How could I forget that?
How could you forget that? So it would have been SOCA Trinidad, Serious Organized Crime Agency is what it's called. And I didn't work
for that. So you're not, you're actually an undercover agent?
Well, if I was, I couldn't admit it on the radio.
No, you're live on this show.
Yeah, no, I never do this. So yeah, so you were your master's you were studying was in forensic science.
Yes, so that's what I did. And then the very year that I decided, okay, time's up, I'm going back to the sunshine, was the year that I met my darling husband. And the rest, as they say, is history.
So we like to say thank you for Stephen for keeping her here.
Yeah.
Definitely. So how long did you do the forensic science for then?
So I just did my master's and I never actually practiced because the funny thing is, did my master's in forensics. And when you spend a year in a lab and seeing, you know, the not so good side of society, it really changes your mindset on things. So I went to London South Bank University. Woohoo! Shout out to my alma mater.
Yeah.
And we were quite lucky in that the course was really hands-on. So we went to the morgue, we got to see
wondering how excited to get about that.
Yeah, so it was interesting for us because when you're a scientist, that's the bit that you want.
Yeah.
But equally, it made me realize that that isn't where I wanted to spend the next, you know, 40 years. Because back then I had no idea or intention of becoming a business owner. You know, we all get told you go to school, you go to university, you get a really good job.
Safe job, yeah.
You know, and you ride out your pension.
Yeah.
So that was my plan, same as anybody else's.
So and just quickly though, why did you choose forensic science?
I always had a really curious mind and my father was a policeman. Oh. And so we didn't grow up squeamish, even though being in a family of girls, you know, we kind of saw crime scene photos when we probably shouldn't have done. Because of course, being in a family of girls, we were all a bit nosy.
Really?
Let's stay curious. And so I think even back then, my curiosity was piqued in terms of, you know, looking at the behind the scenes of what makes people do what they do.
Yeah.
And my plan was to go to medical school. So I kind of took the scenic route to medical school. I was still a bit deciding about it, really. And then decided I'd do my undergrad, see how I felt. Wasn't quite ready to make that, you know, 5-year commitment to medical school. So I thought I'll do my master's. And forensics felt like a natural next step for some strange reason. Mm. But then I did that and thought, well, this is definitely not where I want to be. And I knew I didn't want to go to med school because who wants to go and sign up for 5 more years? You know, I'd just done, 3 years in effect. And then I was lucky enough in that I was working part-time for an engineering firm called Alfred McAlpine. And they no longer exist. They were actually bought out by Carillion many, many years ago. And so being in that role, my then boss, and if you are listening, by some magic, Tor Farquhar, he was the group HR director. He said, I heard you have a master's in forensics and we're looking for a business development manager. And I gave him this really strange look because I was like, the two of those do not go together at all. And he said, that means you have a really good mind and you can understand lots of data. And I was like, well, yeah. You know, that's true. And he said, well, we can train you on the business pieces because you have the skill set that we're looking for. And I was already working for the company. And so that job totally changed the course of my life because I went into working for one of their subsidiary companies as the business development manager. I was submitting, you know, bids and tenders for big engineering projects across Europe. And I was only about 25 and responsible for handling bids for 1 million, 2 million, 5 million. I was actually trying to work out how much millions of worth of business I was responsible for as a 25-year-old who thought I could do everything. And I think for my time there, I probably capped it at about 30 million in the few 3 years I was in that role.
That's such an interesting story in its own right. We'll get on to what happens next.
Yes.
Because that even gets even better. But, you know, with that, it obviously gives you a taste for numbers that end in million.
Yes.
Because some people don't realize they can do it. Whereas you've seen these numbers, so you know they exist. Mm. Therefore, you can go and get them. Mm. And the other thing I want to say is so many business people, they leave sales and business development to last. You know, they work on their speciality in business, but they leave business development and sales until the end, or, you know, maybe I'll pick that up later. That is what you should start with. Every business owner should start with business development and with sales techniques, you know, because there are proven ways of doing this. And you started with that. So that has really been a foundation to build on, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, looking back, sometimes you do such wild and varied things. You're like, how do they all come together? And so I'm at that stage where I'm like, it took a while. But now
you fuse together gradually.
Now all the pieces make sense.
Actually, I use the sculpting. You know, you start with a block of stone, basically, and gradually through your life, you basically chip, and you end with like a statue of yourself, you know, which is in marble or whatever. But actually, you've
Homed diamond
it, chipped
in
away
Julia's,
at it yourself
in diamonds in yeah. Julia's case
yeah oh yeah yeah
yeah well there's some really expensive marble so I can
oh okay go quality marble. Marble
it's all right So where was I in the story? I've lost track now. Before I say, I have to say hello to my nephews because they're now listening.
Hi,
and then
nephews.
If I don't say hello to my nephews, then I'll be in trouble.
Absolutely.
So hello to EJ and hello to Johan. And thank you guys so much for waking up early to listen to your auntie on the radio.
Great.
You can go back to bed now.
You can go back to bed now.
Or is it school day?
Well, they're working men, so they probably have to get up for work soon anyway. So yeah.
That's cool.
So I did that for a while, you know, handled bids and tenders, was really lucky in that the team that I was placed in, even though I was quite young, they gave me loads of responsibility. And another director at the time, David Orr, he was just like, go for it. You know, he wouldn't ever say that project's too big.
Well, I think they obviously see a talent. So yeah, basically, if you can handle it, when I worked with a civilian, basically I worked with the military, and one of them said, if you've got a great horse, ride him. You know, they're talking about sergeants. So basically, if you've got somebody who is really talented, really enthusiastic, as you obviously were and still are.
Thank you.
Then they will give you that responsibility. Yeah. If they're any good as managers and leaders, they
absolutely.
Will.
Yeah. And they really, you know, people talk about working in a corporate environment and being in a high pressured corporate environment. But if it wasn't for being in that environment, I definitely wouldn't have the business that I have today. And my clients wouldn't get the results that they get. Because, you know, a business is only as good as the results that your clients get.
Yeah.
Especially doing what I do. Because if they weren't making any money, if they don't make money, then I don't make money. So
at the end of the day,
it's absolutely my responsibility to make sure that they see an ROI on the work that they do with me. So I did that for a while, left Alfred McAlpine, did business analyst jobs across public sector and private sector, Department of Health, government agencies, the NHS. Don't tell anybody I worked for the NHS. and all sorts of fun things like that. And then got to planning my own wedding to the lovely Stephen, who we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And Stephen's from Northern Ireland. I'm from Trinidad. And when we got to planning the wedding, and it's such another pivotal moment, we wanted a slightly different feel because we wanted to respect his family and my family and both traditions and all those things that you factor in when you're planning a wedding, more so a fusion wedding. And I use that word particularly because that led to me starting a company called Fusion Weddings and Events.
I love, like, I wish I was at your wedding. I bet it was absolutely
awesome.
Well,
we had several parties. Yeah. Yes. Because, you know, Northern Ireland aren't exactly known for being calm and sober people. And Caribbean people, likewise. Mm-hmm. So it was a good bash.
I bet. Great. I bet it was.
It was a very good bash. So, so I did that and I started that business because people were asking me. So I planned my own wedding. My sisters, you know, got all excited. We had both traditions represented. And my friends who were also in mixed relationships were going, where did you find this? Like little things like a black bride and a white groom. You don't think about it until you start looking for it. Yeah. You know, where did you find somebody who could do a cake with this on it? Where did you, all those little pieces that you want to have at a special occasion that represents two people. And so again, through people asking, could you help me find this? Could you help me find that? I started doing it for friends and then it became a business. So I did that alongside of my last job in the NHS for about a year and then officially launched. So anybody who's listening and you're growing your business alongside your day job, do not let anyone say you have to quit the job for the business to succeed.
No, that's true.
Because I always say one of the things if I had to do it differently, I would probably have stayed in my job a little bit longer or taken a part-time job along the way. But I'm a bit, stubborn sometimes. Mm-hmm. And hindsight is always wonderful. So I started Fusion Weddings and Events, did that for a while. Eventually, the company specialized in luxury destination weddings to Tobago. So I would take British couples, go with them to Tobago for a week. I know, such a hardship.
You know, it's a terrible job. How could you stand it for so long?
I know. How could I stand staying in a nice hotel for a week, all expenses paid, planning my clients'
wedding? All that sunshine
wedding.
And the sand, you know.
It's the sand gets everywhere. Yeah.
It's white
horrible,
sand.
Horrible
white sand,
work.
Is it?
Or, horrible work when you think about it. So I did that. That company worked really well, but that was my first successful business. Mm. That wasn't my first business. So my first business was a hair and beauty retail shop in Northern Ireland. So hello to the Northern Ireland contingent. Yeah. And that didn't work. So that actually went from open to shut in 7 months. And I know.
That's a great learning experience though, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I wouldn't change it for a thing, but what it taught me was smaller businesses are run exactly like a quote unquote big business, just on a different scale.
That's true.
And that was the thing that I didn't actually take from my corporate days of, tendering for those multi-million pound projects, because you get told a different thing and then you believe people as a new business owner.
Yeah.
And they tell you, oh, you need to, have low prices to get people in the door and all that kind of thing. And I did that. But no matter how many things you sell for $5.99, you have to sell a heck of a lot.
Yes.
To keep the lights on.
Yeah.
When you have premises. So I did what everybody told me
to do. It becomes more of a
do.
Volume business that way, doesn't it?
And absolutely.
It's a volume model rather than a value model. And that is very much in the, is it fail early, fail fast, fail often. Although you've only failed that once, thankfully. But it's
thankfully.
Actually, yeah, but it
My
was
husband
fast.
Wouldn't keep me otherwise.
Basically 7 months, you learn a lot, you pick yourself up, you move on, basically.
Absolutely.
Which is what you've done.
And that's what I did. Went back to work. Paid off the debt from starting that business and then started the wedding planning company, and that took off. So that really, I took what I learned from the first business not working and really applied everything that I had already known from my corporate background. And that is why to this day I'm such, I kind of pontificate a bit about it, about charging your high fees right from the start.
Absolutely.
Because if you only get one client, but they're paying your top rate, it will help you keep going till you get the next client.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But if you're charging bargain basement rates, you've got to get a heck of a lot of clients to keep going. And a lot of small businesses, they don't shut because they're not good. They're shut literally because they run out of money.
Yep.
And I think there's a confidence thing that you're bringing out there. You've obviously brought it out from yourself, you know, from your own, because, you know, from that running that salon in Northern Ireland, from what you've said there, your takeaway was, I know this, I can do this. You know, I might have failed on that particular thing because I got bad advice, but actually I've had good advice in the past. I'm going to use that. Mm. And that's the confidence thing. And a lot of people who start a business, they don't necessarily have that confidence. So it's, you know, that's it's great that you had that at that point.
Part confidence, part, well, one business has already failed. What else have I got to lose?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing. Failure gives you courage. So I think that's why a lot of the tech companies, you know, say fail fast, fail often and all of that. It's like Facebook. Every day there's a new glitch with Facebook. Mm. Mark Zuckerberg is not going to wake up and go, I know what, I'm going to stop Facebook until we get it perfect.
Yeah.
You know, so that business, when I had the event company, that worked really well. We planned luxury destination events to Tobago, and then people started asking me, could you teach me how to be a wedding planner? And I was like, that's a really strange thing, because there, if you Google wedding planning courses or wedding planning schools, even back then there were so many. You know, there are one or two, and I kept thinking, but there are already so many schools, why am I going to start teaching anybody, you know, the same thing that already exists? Another business lesson, the market is never saturated. You know, that's a myth.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's never saturated. Like, how many pubs are there?
Yeah.
How many supermarkets are there in any one town? Yeah. How many corner shops are there? The market is never saturated, because how Amanda will plan something is not how I will plan something. You know, everybody has their own spin on what they do. And so after many months of saying, no, I don't do courses, I don't do classes, I don't teach wedding planning, I finally decided to put on a wedding planning course. And within a year, I trained 100 wedding planners.
That's fantastic. And were they all in the UK, or were they around the world?
No, there actually are some in the UK. The majority were in the UK, and I did do some workshops in Trinidad. Because every few years, I try to go, and this is not a give back, and I say that very carefully, because people sometimes think that, you know, Caribbean countries are developing, and in quotes, yes, they might not have some of the exact infrastructure, but at the same token, I don't go back because they need charity. I go back because I want to share what I've learned with my home audience, and that's important to me.
Yeah.
So I think that's a distinction to make, because like my clients in Trinidad aren't charity cases. They pay me the same thing that my British clients pay, and I charge a lot.
Yes, she does. She does. So we've gone from forensic science to business development manager to wedding planning to wedding trainer.
Yes.
And what we're going to do now is we're going to have a break.
Oh, already?
We're going to give her, it's halfway of the show already. Oh, it's like time flies. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about where you are now and why you charge what you charge. I love it. So you are listening to the Business Bunker Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It's Friday, the 15th of June. I'm joined in the studio. My co-host today is the fabulous Mark Goldfinch.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Amanda. Hello,
Julia. And our guest, who we've just been hearing from, is the lovely Julia Bernard Thompson, the Millionaire's Mentor. This is Julia's choice of song. Enjoy, and we'll be back in a little bit.
See ya.
It's fine. I love that you chose this song. This is so you.
Push me past the breaking point. I stood for nothing. So jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
This is Channel 2,
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Hello and welcome back. You are listening to The Business Bunker Extra on channelradio.co.uk and bizradio.co.uk. I'm joined in the studio today. My co-host is Mark Goldfinch.
Hello.
And our guest who we've just been hearing from is the fabulous Julia Bernard-Thompson, the Millionaire's Mentor.
And Julia, why did you choose that song?
It was a second choice, but why did you choose
that song?
Yeah, yes. It was my second choice. If you tweet me, I might tell you what the first choice is.
Yeah.
We should have done a contest. Guess what the first choice song was.
Yeah, nobody would ever guess that, though.
No, they wouldn't.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
It's rowdy, it's rebellious, it's a little bit like me, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's why I went with that song.
Great,
Perfect choice. So we have, if you missed the first part of the show, where have you been?
Yeah.
But we have been hearing it from Julia, and she has basically quick pit stop, studied, came from Trinidad 18 years ago, studied forensic science, went into business development management, went into wedding planning, fusion wedding planning training, and that's where we are now.
So that was really a potty
dish. That was.
I should have done it like that, Amanda.
We would have had so much more time. Yeah. But if you want to hear the full story, listen to the first part of the show.
Yeah.
So you did the training and trained over 100...
In a year. UK and in Trinidad. Yeah.
Yes. And then the people who trained with me then came back and said, well, now that we've qualified, you need to help us grow the business. So started then coaching them to grow wedding planning businesses. And it was always with the same thing in mind, you know, start with your most expensive service. And that has pretty much been the theme in my coaching, even up till now. So the first non-wedding planner said, you know what you do for wedding planners? Do you think you could help me? Because therapists get told that they need to charge £30 for a session and a massage. Like, how many massages do you need to sell to pay the rent?
Yeah.
You know?
Wear your fingers to the bone, literally, wouldn't it?
Literally. And then they end up with, you know, health issues just because they're doing so many hours.
Yeah.
So I moved from wedding planners to service-based business owners, and then from service-based business owners to coaches. And now I've literally just sort of niched down again to use
but wait, hold that point. I want to do that point in a minute where you've niched to now.
Yeah.
Because I want to cover over the part of, because she brushed over it, but when I met Julia a couple of years ago, she was speaking at a Evo Girls networking meeting. And that's the first time I was like, you know, I love this lady. She talks so much sense. But your whole strategy and everything you bring around, and it just makes total sense. And everybody's going, that makes total sense. So basically, when you're coaching people, you say, right, start with your top end. Charge more. Charge the top end
price. Believe that you actually, that you're providing the value. You're providing all those skills of, you know, the years and years of learning and nurturing your talents, that you're offering that value to people and then believe that you can charge them.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I guess that's part of it, isn't it? But it's just like, hello, people, sell one thing rather than 20 things and don't have to work so hard.
Yes.
So, and
that's pretty much it.
Which is pretty much that in a nutshell. Yeah. Obviously, Julia explains it a lot more, a lot better than I do. But explain how you explain it.
So I always say, sell your most expensive service first. And when I say that, people then freak out about coming to me as a coach because they think I will sell them my most expensive service first.
Which I do.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone. But the thing is this, it's not so much the price point of the service. It's that you sell your best offer. And your best offer should always be your highest priced offer. So if someone, for example, if somebody comes to me and they say, Julia, I'm just starting out as a coach and I know that I want to make a million. Can you help me do that? I will say yes. And I will also say to them, that means you need to sign up to work with me for 3 years so I can walk you through it year by year. Mm. Now, if they then turn around and say, well, I only have £1,000, then I cannot help them become a millionaire in 3 years if that's the only level of investment they can make. They will then have to go and buy one of my online courses.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean when I say, give someone the best option for them to achieve what they want to achieve. So it's not like a hard sell. You're not saying, there's no bait and switch in that transaction. You are literally saying, if this is the result that you want, then this is the service that will give you that result. And this is the investment attached to that service.
Yeah. There's a different price point for a different budget.
Absolutely.
But I think there's also a scarcity. This is the scarcity model, isn't it? Your time, as you, Julia, is scarce. And as you know, as a single professional, basically, our time is finite. And therefore, we have to charge accordingly. If people actually want the time with us, they have to charge, they have to pay.
Pretty much.
So then this is a question I posed to you off air, and you said you'd answer it for me on air. I've heard Julia's talk a couple of times, and she does always inspire and motivate me. And I'm like, right, okay, that's what I need to do. I need to, you know, push my premium service out there first. So why don't I do it? I know that's what I should do. It makes absolutely complete sense. And if I do one event and get a huge high value income from it, then I only need to do one or two events a year. Why don't I do that?
You and a lot of other people, Amanda.
Exactly. Well, but why don't
we? One of my clients.
What do you find? Why
does it happen? Call me the charge more lady, which I love. Hello, Jo Bell, if you're listening. Bell's accountants call me the charge more lady, and it just makes me giggle every time because that's pretty much my ethos. Mm. But why people don't do it is, one, they're nervous to do it or even afraid to do it. And two, because we have been so conditioned by other people saying you need to get people in at a low price. People will only buy your low price thing first. That we listen to those voices because it keeps us safe. And I don't want to go too much into, you know, flight and fight. Can't get my words out now.
River.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That one.
Flight and fight.
Flight and flight.
Thank you. Responses. And sales for some people triggers the exact same response as historically when we were being chased by animals across the plane trying to find our food. And so it happens in our brain and then our body shuts down and the safe response is, oh, I'll just sell them the cheaper one. When really all you're doing is keeping yourself safe in that transaction. Yeah. Well, you know, they're going to say yes to something that's £99.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to offer them something for £9,000. When really the £9,000 service is what will give them the result that they want. And an easy way to get over that is to remind ourselves that your client wants a result. So they're not buying based on price. They're buying based on result. If they want you to use yourself as an example, if they want you to, you know, market the whole event, social media, show up on the day, go out venue sourcing. I don't know what your packages include, so I'm just making stuff up. But whatever it is, if they don't want to have anything to do with the event at all, and you say, okay, for you to have 100% peace of mind and be the only client that I look after for the next 6 months, it's going to be £12,000. They make the decision, well, do we want to share you with someone else or do we want to have you to ourselves?
Total focus. Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't even matter what industry people are in, because my clients cover all sorts of industries. Yeah. So I work with mainly coaches, but I have, like, the client I just mentioned is an accountancy firm and she does consulting for other small business owners. So it doesn't matter what industry you're in. The same rule applies. You're selling the result. If the client wants the biggest result, then they have to make the biggest investment.
Yep. And there will be clients out there that will be prepared to pay that.
Yeah. Absolutely. There always are.
Yeah.
Do you think it's something to do with being with a false view of how you can be nice? Basically, we want to be nice, so therefore we're not going to charge too much.
No, I think
we're brought up to be sort of nice,
yeah,
you know, but actually possibly. It's a false view of it, because if you're no longer in business, you can't be nice.
Yeah, but I think the main thing is, isn't it? It's having the courage to go, actually, you know what? I'm going to wait until that client comes along and can pay me. But obviously, you still have lower packages and you still have other clients coming through to keep you going.
Yeah.
But yeah, having that courage and going, you know, actually, you know what?
Yeah.
This is what I want, this is what I'm going to go out and get, and this is what I'm going
to
do, you
know? And it's not like I'm saying don't sell anything if people aren't willing to buy your highest level service, because as you say, you will have other you know, services to offer at a lower price point, but it's about leading with that, because oftentimes we lead with, well, my prices start at £90, whereas when somebody asks me, what do you charge? I say a lot, you know, because I charge a lot. So clients can work with me from £100,000 a year right down to £997. And I always say it in that way.
Yeah.
And people's eyes open. So some of you probably just thought, did she just say £100,000? I did. So some people will totally freak out by that and it will put people off. So that's another thing. When you start that way, you instantly eliminate people who are going to waste your time and drive you crazy.
Absolutely.
And one thing about me is I'm quite outspoken, and I always say to my clients, do not take a client just for the money. So even by positioning your business in that way, people who aren't ready to make an investment will be like, she is crazy. I'm not paying that kind of money. Her and her £100,000 package can go and do one. Whereas the clients who are willing to make that level of investment are like, you're my girl. Where do I send the money? Yeah. What am I getting for that?
They'll be totally cool with it.
Totally cool with it. So it's a really, really good positioning tool. I know people are listening and they're saying, Julia, I don't charge £100,000. But whatever your top line is, use it to position yourself.
Yeah.
Let the people looking for discounts and bargains go to wherever they can get discounts and bargains and not drive you crazy.
But I guess also that, as you say, that also depends on the level of business and the business where people want to have their business. So, you know, some big people will be going, yeah, right, okay, that's great. That's what I'm talking about. That's what 100,000. That's what I'm talking about. And some people will go, yeah, but you know, my top package, I'm talking 2,000-3,000, but that's what they're happy with.
Yes.
So it has to be that, and that's what they can charge, or to the people that they want to charge it to. Well, I guess it
depends. You know, if you've got for weddings, basically, let's hope there's probably only one of them in a life, so it has to be special.
Yeah, right.
Not always. So yes, but not really.
No, these days, Mark. Never.
It's not a daily occurrence. Let's put it that way. So it's actually, you know, so there. So some, it's a special occasion. Mm. It's an event. You know, whereas other businesses, they rely on selling bread every day. So it's not going to be £10,000 for a loaf, but it will be, there will be a range of prices. Yeah.
Exactly. But there's still, there's £5, there's, you know, there's 70p coffee and there's £5 coffee. So it's applicable.
Absolutely.
Whatever industry you're in.
And it depends on what level you want your business to be at, where you want to be with your business.
Absolutely. Mm. And it also depends on the results that your clients get. So like, I didn't start off charging, you know, £100,000 for a year. So I don't want people to think like you're a new coach and you can just go out and say, wow, Julia said to charge £100,000. I did not say that.
No.
So my clients get the results. I can say, when you make that investment, this is what will happen as a result of it. And so you want to be confident in your pricing as your clients get results and you gradually move up. I mean, I remember when I used to charge £750 for a day and was really excited when clients would pay it. You know, it's definitely not that anymore. Mm. But as the results improved and I had the case studies to show, then it gives you the confidence. Exactly. Yeah. So you start where is the best place for you and you work up from there.
Yeah. And I must admit, when I first met Julia and she spoke, she was off and I was very new. I just not long started my business and she had an offer that she was running and she doesn't even remember this. And it was £85 for, I think it was for part of the course. It's £85. I think it was just one-to-one. It was something, it wasn't obviously your whole training thing, but there was something, you know, and it was just literally a deal that you did for the Evo Girls, £85. And obviously at that point I was like, you know what, I can't afford this. I am kicking myself that I didn't find that £85, because where would I be now?
Because I can tell you it's definitely not £85 anymore.
I know, exactly. Nowhere near.
Nowhere near. I don't know. I might give you mates rates. We'll talk about that off here.
Oh, okay. Microphone's
for sure,
off.
For sure. Now, because we are quickly running out of time, we have covered some events. I do want to dip into, as you say, so this is the progress and now you've decided to niche. And I love this niche. Where are you niching now with your coaching?
So now I'm focusing on supporting Christian coaches to grow from zero to their first million in 3 years or less. Mm-hmm. And the reason behind that is, I mean, most people know that my faith is an integral part of who I am.
Yep.
And there is this big taboo about Jesus and faith and church and money. And I just thought, and even people who aren't necessarily Christian, but are who spiritual or of some particular faith. And I was like, guys, the church needs money to run.
Yes.
You know, money is not a taboo. It's not a bad thing. Yes, you can do bad things with it, but you can do bad things with anything.
Yes.
And I read a line, and I think it's in Think and Grow Rich. I might be wrong, where it says that electricity can be used to, you know, power a station as well as to electrocute a man. So every tool has a bad and a good. And I think it's important for people who do good in the world. So not just Christian people, but people of a faith. Mine happens to be Christianity, to make money, to do more good in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, well, where
that's, I'm that's at. The essence. And that's where you focus now.
That's the essence of business philanthropy. I nearly said that right. business philanthropy. If you don't make it, you can't give it away.
Exactly. Exactly. And especially in church circles, we get taught to give, you know, do this, serve at the church. But even outside of church, we get told, give your best stuff away for free. Give loads of free content. give. But you're not making any money in return. Then you're giving from where?
Yeah, you know, exactly. You have to get it.
And then the juice runs out, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I could have you on for hours and hours and we could carry on talking. But unfortunately, we're coming fast to the end of the show. So,
but not without some events coming
up. We've got to cover the events in just a minute. Give us a quick shout out how people can find you and get in contact with you.
Facebook
got a spare 100,000 lying around.
If you've got a spare 100,000 lying around, Amanda's teasing me now.
I am.
Or even if you don't,
Paul, could you lend me some money?
Paul, if you're listening, if you don't see the car on the drive, you know why. So people can connect with me on my Facebook page, which is where I spend far too much time. And it's my name, Julia Bernard Thompson Christian Woman Millionaires. And you are welcome to be part of my community, regardless of whether you believe the same as me. I always say that we can work together from a place of mutual love and respect.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
Check it out. Yep. And just thank you so much. Seriously, I'm going home. I'm changing my business plan.
You're selling the car.
I'm selling the car. And maybe the house.
Julia, thanks for sharing the story.
Yeah,
it's electrifying.
Thank
you. It's a fantastic story. And good luck in the future.
Thank you for having
me,
guys.
We have got some shout outs. We've got to say a quick hello to 6-2 there on the Twitter. Thank you, Megan, again for retweeting and saying hello. Bridger Howes and our very favourite and very own TD Botty on the Twitter.
Ah, fantastic, Terry.
We love
and
Terry.
And Romney Marsh.
Shouting hello and hello to you. So we've got 6 minutes to now cover the events coming up over the next couple of weeks. So some dates for your diary. I'm going to start with this one for you ladies out there. This is a fantastic event coming up on the Thursday, the 28th of June at Bridgewood Manor in Chatham. And this is You Release Your Brilliance. Now, this event is run by three very inspiring and motivational women, Deborah Howard. Who's Deborah Howard? I don't even know where Deborah Howard came from. Seriously. Brain stopped working. Deborah Turner, Ali Harold, and our very own Bird, aka Sarah Ann Lucas. They are running another Release Your Brilliance. This is for women who want and need, feel like they want the help, need the help to stand up, stand out, and be heard. You've got the three amazing women. You have got Ali Harold, who's covering the talking coaching. You have Deborah Turner, who is covering, you know, what to wear, how to wear.
Image and brand.
And image and brand. And then you've got, obviously, the fabulous Bird covering well-being and everything. But the three of them work so well together.
Well, they're so talented in their own right.
They're very
and
talented.
And very generous with their time because they want to help other people.
Exactly.
It's really genuine.
Last year's event was amazing. This year's is going to be equally amazing. They've already got over 38 women booked on. So it's going to be great networking and learning. It's just £30, including lunch, and it's from 9:30 to 3 p.m. on the 28th. So just go to Eventbrite, Release Your Brilliance, book on, and go to it. It's an awesome, awesome event. Give us a quick one there, Mark. Just the date and what it is.
Okay, Street Soccer Sleepout. That's Street Soccer Charity in conjunction with Gillingham Football Club at the Priestfield Stadium, 7 p.m. Saturday, the 30th of June, until 7 a.m. Sunday, the 1st of July.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
As long as it doesn't rain.
As long as it doesn't rain. Here we go. Creative Digital Big Chat, which is on the 20th of June from 6pm to 9pm at the fabulous Dragons Co-work in there in Chatham. It's free. And have you ever been to a meeting with an organised talk where you get chatting, start sharing ideas, a collaboration gets underway, and then it all has to stop because the speaker is about to start? This is why Sean and Natalie launch the Big Chat. We have organised discussions, but you can take part or continue your conversation. It's up to you. Free glass of wine or beer. Hello. And a light supper courtesy of our sponsors. So that is on the 20th of June at Dragon Co-working. If you go to hosted by Storm Chasers Digital and Kent Creative, go to stormchasersdigital.com/creative-digital-big-chat and book onto that. It's free. Go along. It sounds fantastic.
That's really good. I've been to those before. They're really good. So Grow Kent, Maidstone and Medway Business Show at the Mercure Maidstone Great Danes Hotel. This is Tuesday, the 26th of June, full day event, 8:30 till 3:30. I could say so much about this. We'll have limited time, but just look at this list of speakers.
Yeah, it's
Bryony
amazing.
Thomas, I've seen her at the Professional Speaking Association from Watertight Marketing. Dan Knowlton, Linda Garcia, Josh Whitten. Oh, there's loads of great speakers here. So
it's a free
sign
event.
Sign yourself up. Yeah, free event.
It's a free event. Go to growkent.co.uk.
Growkent.co.uk, and it's also on bizradio.co.uk.
Yeah, absolutely. Go. I'm going to be there. And in fact, I'm going to be there with the walk around mic. I'm going to be doing some Voxbox interviews at the Grow Kent. Plus, we're going to be phoning in to Paul's show live and talking to some people on air. So it's going to be a great event. They're really good. Our fabulous Peter Sell at the Business Doctors has got a couple more free events coming up that he runs on Thursday the 21st of June, starting at 2 p.m. and running till 4 p.m. at the Business Terrace in Maidstone. It's recruiting or outsourcing to the right staff. And also then on Tuesday the 26th of June, starting at 8:30 a.m. till 3:30 p.m. Oh no, sorry, he's saying that he's going to be at Grow Kent on the 26th. So either go on the 21st to see Peter at the Business Terrace, or meet him at the 26th and he can help you build and grow your business. Check out businessdoctors.co.uk.
Can I just get one in
very quickly? Yep.
The highlight of the summer season is coming up, the Butterfly Ball, Friday the 6th of July 2018, to celebrate the Kenwood Trust's 50th. There's so much going on, basically. So this is, you can book yourself on at kenwoodtrust.org.uk. Book the tickets online.
And check out all the details online because it looks absolutely
Cheryl
fun.
Baker. Oh, wow.
Cheryl Baker's there. And, fabulous.
Mocktail entertainer. Oh, there's so much happening.
Brilliant.
Basically. Butterfly
check
Ball,
out.
Friday the 6th of July 2018.
Fantastic. Well, I have to say a big, huge thank you to our guest today, Julia Ben-Thompson, the Millionaire's
thank
Mentor.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Please can I come back?
Yes, do, and definitely.
So you're going to say goodbye to New York City and Trinidad as well?
Yes. Oh, yes. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
You can all go back to bed now.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you to Mark for being with us today.
Our pleasure. Look forward to it.
On next week's show, I am joined by co-host Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, and our guest is Matthew Bevan from The Dining Club. Don't forget to listen in to Paul's show on Tuesday, 1 till 3. He's got some more great guests. We'll be back next week. We're going to be on Facebook in a bit doing a post-show show if you want to catch up a bit more. Otherwise, we'll be back next week. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders. This is Channel 2.
Open your eyes, look at the day. You'll see.
Channel 2.